Accepting the fact of creation is a matter of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 states it in those terms. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Creation out of nothing is an act of faith. And there is that faith that we must exercise in the revelation that God has given of himself and how this world came into being. And tonight we're coming to think of a stage further here in what God did at the beginning when he wrought creation. It was the Son of God. And we'll come to think of that along the way as well. It is the Son of God who is particularly spoken of as the Creator. And we can immediately see then how there will be a connection with redemption, because the part that the Son of God plays in redemption is very much prominent in the Word of God as well. But thinking about this term here in Genesis 1 and verse 2, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Because having originally created time, space and matter, that which was created at that point in time was unformed and unenergized. And that's what you have in the opening lines of verse 2. The earth was without form and void. It is unformed. There are no inhabitants yet created to be put into this earth. And then this statement, darkness was upon the face of the earth, is reminding us that as yet what God had created was unenergized, because light is a form of energy. So having brought into existence time, space and matter, that matter is unformed and that matter is yet unenergized. And as a result of it then, this statement is made that darkness was upon the face of the deep. And that darkness prevailed until the Spirit of God moves. And you have that statement there at the end of verse 2. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Because here's the divine power that's going to work, that's going to form the earth and shape the earth, and also going to energize the earth and make it the living habitation that it can be and will be for the creatures that God is going to put into the earth. So at this stage, we're thinking here of day one of creation, but at this point in time of day one, we're thinking about an unformed, an unenergized, watery mass. Because if you look there at that statement in verse 2 that speaks about the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. So the face of the deep and the face of the waters are terms that describe the same thing. That what God has created is here the creation of matter, and it is a watery mass. It is unshaped and unformed, and there is water that is created and in existence there, and it looks upon just a watery mass. And the Spirit of God is going to move and to shape this and make it into the earth that we read of in the following verses. The same picture is presented to us by Peter in 2 Peter 3 and 5. It says, by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So there is that acknowledgement that when God first created and brought into existence matter, it was a watery mass that he brought into existence. And he's going to separate the water, as we know, and the earth's going to stand out of the water. And he's going to call the land, the earth land, and he's going to call the waters seas. Turn over to Proverbs 8, and there's an interesting, chapter, Proverbs chapter 8, on the whole matter of creation. But it's verse 27 that I want to draw your attention just here at this particular time. Because here's wisdom personified, and personified in the Son of God. And the question is asked in verse 27, Proverbs 8:27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep. And then there's a number of other statements that follow on in the following verses. And then the line is in verse 30, then I was by him as one brought up with him. So it's referring to the fact that the Son of God is eternal, but it's this statement in verse 27 that I want you to consider. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep. Now take the face of the deep to be as what we have been describing it, this unformed, unenergized, watery mass. And God begins to work and he forms it into a compass, or as we understand, that spheroid, that the earth has the shape of the earth. Technically it's called an oblate spheroid, but we think about that sphere, it's flattened at the poles and it's stretched a little at the equator, so it's not a perfect sphere. But God formed it into the shape that it is. And there's the statement that tells us there in Proverbs 8:27 that he set a compass upon the face of the deep. So he took what he had created and brought into existence, this watery mass. And then in the subsequent acts of creation that you read of there in Genesis 1, he formed it and shaped it. And then he made the creatures to inhabit it. But part of this unenergized state is before us when we come to think about this statement, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And as light is a form of energy, it is simply stating to us that as yet the earth is not energized. As yet it is not energized. Jeremiah makes mention of this. We've already looked at this verse last time when we were thinking about the earth being created for a purpose. Jeremiah 4:23, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. So we're thinking about the absence of light, and where there's the absence of light, there is darkness. And what is being said to us here is that as yet there isn't the energizing of this creation that has been brought into existence. Now the Lord could have done all of this in a fraction of time. He could have created an energized earth by the word of his power. That same word that brought time, space and matter into existence. He could have brought into existence an energized earth. He could have brought into existence an inhabited earth there and then. But there was a reason why he created over 6 days. But when you think about that state of darkness that is referenced there in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, it reminds us, it illustrates, you see, this other state of existence. The state of existence that is found in the natural heart of all mankind. And that's going to bring us over then to 2 Corinthians 4. And verse 4 is the verse I want us to think a little bit about this evening. Because there's a darkness upon the deep recesses of our hearts and upon the understanding of our minds. And it says here in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There is a darkness in the human soul, in the deep recesses of the human soul. Genesis 1 there speaks about the face of the abyss, or the face of the deep. Well, down into the depths of the human heart, there is a darkness that is there, that exists there. And when you think about that unenergized state that is given to us in Genesis 1 and verse 2, and it's described there as darkness upon the face of the deep, does it not here picture the human heart? That there is a lack of spiritual life in the human heart. There is a lack of any spiritual energy. There is a deadness. There is a darkness. There is no light that is to be found naturally in the human heart. Now, how deep is the human heart, spiritually speaking? Those deep inner recesses that are there, that are unknown to us in its fullness, even unknown to us about our own hearts and our own souls. If you think of that statement in Hebrews 4 about the Word of God being quick and powerful and how it's piercing, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And then it says at the last clause, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. How deep are those intents of the heart? There's deep recesses in the human heart and in the human soul. But tonight, the Word of God tells us there's a darkness that exists there. There's no spiritual life. There's no spiritual energy. There's just darkness. And that's what we want to consider this evening. Now, there's a number of statements that highlight that in the New Testament context. For example, Paul's ministry is explained in these terms in the Acts of the Apostles 26 when he was giving his testimony and he describes the Lord calling him and the ministry that he gave him. He says in verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. To turn them from darkness. So Paul's ministry is framed in that context. There's a darkness in the human mind that he was given a ministry to preach the gospel and to turn people from this darkness. Peter as well, he frames conversion in these same terms. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye might show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. So referring to those who are saved, all of those who are saved, he says the Lord has called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. And I could repeat other verses, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 5, ye are the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So there are many places in the New Testament where there is this reference to darkness, and it's a reference to the unsaved, the natural state of the human heart. It's described in these terms. There's darkness there. And it's that I want us to dwell upon for a little while this evening. First of all, I want you to think about the existence of this darkness in the depths of the human heart and soul. Because down into those deep recesses of the human heart, there is a darkness that is found in every part. In every part. Paul in Ephesians 4, verses 17 and 18, he says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now there is there described for us something of this darkness. What does it mean when the Bible uses this term darkness to refer to the unsaved natural condition of every human heart? Well, there's a few pointers there we can take out of that statement that Paul makes, because he speaks about an ignorance that is there. A lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding. He talks about a blindness that is there in the human heart. You see, down in the depths of the human heart, there is a lack of knowledge. There is an ignorance of God. We do not have the true knowledge of God. There is a knowledge to some extent of God, but it is seriously corrupted. There are some who seek to deny that knowledge and turn themselves into atheists. There's others who have a degree of knowledge, but it degenerates into false religion and apostate Christianity because there is darkness there. There is no true knowledge of God. There is a blindness that is there. People do not see their need of salvation. They do not see their need of repentance. They do not see that sin will take them down to eternal punishment. They cannot see these things. They cannot see that they cannot save themselves. They're blind to these things. If you have 2 Corinthians open, just go back to chapter 3. And verses 14 and 15, it says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Like Paul was speaking there particularly of his own people, the Jews, and how there was a veil in their heart and they could not see and they were blind to these things. But that veil is on every heart too. The thing about the Jews was that they had the Bible and still there was a veil on their hearts. They had the Word of God that they ought to listen to and heed it and understood. But even when the Scriptures were read, because that's the context there of 2 Corinthians 3, Paul is speaking about the Scriptures being read. They have Moses. Moses is read to them and still the blindness is on their heart. But the blindness is in every human heart. There is a darkness in the deep recesses of the human heart. It exists. It exists. And in every human heart, in those deep recesses, there is a lack of knowledge and there is a blindness. That's what the Bible is referring to when it speaks about darkness. When it says about being called out of darkness into the marvellous light of the gospel, it has been called out of that state of ignorance. It has been called out of that state of blindness. So that we have a true knowledge of God. so that we understand the Lord as He is, that He is a holy God and that He hates sin and He will not accept sin into heaven. And if the sinner goes on in their sin unrepenting, then they will never be in heaven. It's having that blindness removed that we see Christ as the only Savior and that we need Him. That blindness is there on every human heart. I want you also to think about the evidence of that darkness in the human heart. Because there's some terms in the New Testament that point to the presence of it. How do we know that there is darkness in the inner recesses? We can't see into the inner recesses of anybody's heart. So is there evidence? Where is the proof that there is a darkness? It's one thing to make a statement. It's another thing to back it up with evidence. Well, the Lord in His Word has ways of proving the darkness that there is in the human heart, because there are some terms that appear in the New Testament that points to the presence of darkness in the deep recesses of the human heart. The Bible speaks about the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1, 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." Darkness has a power. It creates fear. There might be people who are afraid of the dark. People who are afraid of the dark for no other reason than it's just dark. They might be in familiar surroundings. They might be in somewhere at their own home where they've been so many times. And yet, just because it's dark, because there's no light, there's a fear, there's an agitation that comes about as a result of the fact there's just darkness that is there, even though they're in familiar surroundings. Darkness has a power. It has a power to control. And where there is the darkness upon the human soul, where there is this ignorance, this lack of knowledge of the Lord, where there is this blindness as to the need of salvation, then it's going to be seen in the fact of the influence that that darkness has upon individuals. They're going to act in a particular way that demonstrates they are indeed in darkness. They're going to resent God. They're going to misunderstand the things of God. They're not going to see their need of Christ. They're not going to see Christ as he is, the Savior of sinners. They're going to be blind to these things. The darkness that is in is going to come to the fore. It's going to manifest itself in how they react to these things. So there's the term, the power of darkness, that you read of in the Word of God as well. But then there's another statement that you read of twice over, it appears, and it's the works of darkness. Romans chapter 13, verse 12, it says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light." Ephesians 5, 11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." So there's the works of darkness. Because it is always the case that what is within will eventually come to the surface of our lives. The true nature of the heart will always come out eventually. And where there is darkness in the depths of the human soul, in the inner recesses of the human soul, that darkness is going to come out. It'll come out because there will be a power in that darkness. But there's also going to be the works of darkness. And the works of darkness simply describe the natural conduct of the human heart. That's all that it's doing. It's describing the natural conduct of the human heart. Because the works of darkness refer to all sinful works, all evil works. Everything that is the opposite of light. Everything that is the opposite of light. Now you think about that for a moment. God describes Himself as light. So everything that is contrary to God is the manifestation of the darkness of the human heart. Every individual who opposes God, every individual who sets themselves against God, in whatever way, every individual who acts contrary to God, is manifesting the fact there's darkness in my heart and soul, because I'm against God who is light. Jesus Christ as well is called the light of the world. So everything that is contrary to Jesus Christ, and every individual who acts contrary to Jesus Christ, is but manifesting the fact that there's darkness in their soul, because He is the light of the world. And they are acting contrary to Him. Many do not want to know Him. Many do not want to yield to His claims, ever to honour Him in their lives or to serve Him. They're acting contrary to Him. All they are but doing is manifesting the fact there's darkness in the depths of their inner being. The Word of God is described as light. My Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So the Word of God is light. So everything that is contrary to the Bible, and everyone who acts contrary to the Bible, is manifesting the fact that there's darkness in their soul. So everyone that's disobedient, everyone who goes contrary to the commands of God in His Word, don't want to acknowledge them, don't want in any way to live their lives according to as God has required of them in His Word, is manifesting the fact there's darkness in my soul because I'm acting contrary to the light. Hell is described as the blackness of darkness reserved by the justice of God as a punishment for sin and sinners. So everything that's the product of hell, everything that would take a sinner down to hell is just manifesting darkness. Every sin that an individual clings to that'll be a millstone about their neck to take them down to a lost eternity is but manifesting the fact, I do this, I cling to these sins, I hold fast to them, I don't want to give them up, I love them because there's darkness in my soul. And upon the inner recesses, like the face of the deep, there is this darkness that prevails and there is the evidence of it. That is there. That brings us to the last thing that I want us to think about this evening, and that is the expulsion of this darkness. The darkness was not going to continue at creation. The absence of physical light meant that at that point there was darkness in the creation timeline. And it's referring to the fact that that creation is incomplete, as we've been highlighting. The earth was unformed and uninhabited and unenergized. But the darkness was going to be expelled. God was going to create light, as we know. As you read on down those verses in Genesis 1, there was that command, let there be light. So God was going to create light, and He was going to begin to energize the creation, and then He was going to begin to form the creation, and then to put His creatures into it so that it would be inhabited. The darkness was not going to continue. The darkness was not going to prevail. With the creation of light, there's going to be the expulsion of darkness. Well, that which happened at creation needs to happen in the human soul. There needs to be the expulsion of darkness. There needs to be that expulsion of darkness. Turn over to Romans chapter 13. And look at verse 12 here of this chapter. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us cast off the works of darkness. That's what needs to happen in the human heart and the human soul. Darkness has to be cast off. Because if it is not cast off, then the individual is going to go down into a lost eternity in their ignorance and in their blindness. They're going to go down into a lost eternity. They're going to go down into hell rebelling against their Maker. If the darkness of the human soul is not cast off, they will expose themselves to the wrath of God. If there is not a casting off of this darkness. You see, sometimes people love ignorance. They're happy to be ignorant, or at least to claim that they don't know, because they think it's an excuse. Oh, I didn't know. And they think that somehow that's going to be an excuse that will somehow remove them from having to face up to the consequences of what they have done. I didn't know. I didn't understand. Many times do people make that excuse, and they think that somehow this is going to lessen the consequences that I'm going to face. If they can say, I didn't understand, I didn't know. But that's not going to count for anything with God. That's not going to count for anything with God, the fact that somebody says, I didn't know. I didn't see. I wasn't aware. No, God says, cast off the works of darkness. Have done with the darkness of the human soul. And that will bring us on eventually to think about the light. The light needs to enter. The heart needs to be opened up to the light of the gospel. Isn't that what is given to us here in these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 that we've drawn to your attention? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, the devil is at work in that blindness, that darkness that is on the human heart, and keeping it there. The devil's working overtime to keep a person in darkness, to keep them in a place where they don't know and they don't understand. The devil's working overtime, lest the light of the glorious gospel shines in. But there has to be a casting off of the works of darkness. Darkness has to be cast out of the human soul. And that can only happen by the shining in of the light of the gospel. As it tells you here in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. The light of the glorious gospel. The gospel is a light, bringing knowledge, bringing understanding, pointing sinners to Christ. That's really what the preaching of the gospel is all about. It's like bringing light. And these associate thoughts that the Bible here connects with the idea of light, bringing knowledge and bringing understanding, dispelling the darkness that is there in the human heart. That's the whole purpose of teaching the Word of God, whether it's teaching in the Sabbath school, children's meeting, whatever way, preaching as we are now, whatever way we might present the Word of God, it is with this purpose, this consciousness. By teaching the Word of God, it is like shining a light to dispel the darkness, to bring understanding, to bring insight, to point to Christ, to counteract that which is there naturally in the human heart, where there is darkness and there is no understanding and there is an ignorance and there is a blindness of the things of God. The light of the gospel is to come and to shine in and dispel that darkness and bring somebody to that place where they embrace the gospel. Because you notice there in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Oh, what an awful thought that somebody can be lost. And that somebody can be lost because the gospel is hid. Because they're in darkness. The light has not shined into their heart. They haven't come to this knowledge. They haven't come to this understanding. They don't see Christ as they ought to see Him, as the Savior of sinners willing to save. They don't. They're in blindness and darkness. And they're going to be lost. They're going to be lost. What an awful thought to continue on in darkness and to be lost. And that's why tonight there is the exhortation, let us cast off the works of darkness. Because darkness will take us down to the blackness of darkness forever. And that's the description that is given of hell in the little book of Jude. The blackness of darkness. And if that darkness that is in the human soul is not cast out, then it will take a person down to the blackness of darkness. You know, wherever we might counter darkness today, it is not the darkness of hell. It is not even the darkness of what we read there in Genesis 1 and 2, the darkness at that point in creation. Because wherever there's darkness today, even tonight, you go out into some dark place, there's a glimmer of light somewhere. There's a glimmer of light somewhere in this world. Because God has created, there's the sun. I know you can be on the other side of the earth from the sun, and therefore you're in darkness. But even that darkness, there's still a glimmer of light. But what must it be to go down into hell, to that place that is described there in Jude as the blackness of darkness, where there is no light? Scientists say that the hottest flame that burns is a flame that gives no light. Because people have often said, sure, there's fire in hell. Why is there no light in hell? The hottest flame that burns is a flame that gives no light. You go down into the blackness of darkness, into hell. And if there's not a casting off of these works of darkness, if that darkness isn't dispelled out of the human soul by the entrance of the Word of God, the light of the gospel, then that soul will go down to that place that is described there in Jude as the blackness of darkness. And what must that darkness be like? Is it a darkness that is akin to that darkness that you read of in Genesis 1 and verse 2, when there was darkness upon the face of the deep? There was no light. There was not even the glimmer of light. The darkness has to be expelled. It has to be cast off. There has to be this entrance of the light of the gospel. That's why the gospel is to be preached. It is like a light shining into hearts. And where it is received, it will enlighten them. It will give them understanding. As it did to those of us who are saved. There was a time when we did not understand these things and did not see these things. And we were dwelling in darkness. But the light of the gospel entered and gave us understanding. And we begun to see our need. See Christ as the answer and remedy to our need. The light began to enter, and the works of darkness were cast off. And that's what needs to happen in the heart and life of every single individual. And may indeed it be brought about many times, many places, many hearts. For if it is not, then, as it tells us there in verse 3, if our gospel be hid,
it is hid to them that are lost. If the light doesn't shine into someone's heart, they'll be lost. And oh, that many an unsaved heart would have the gospel light to shine into them. Even tonight. Those that are among our kith and kin that are not saved, oh, that the gospel light would shine in, dispel the darkness, and bring them to a knowledge of Christ. That's what is needed. And the Lord is able. Just the same way as we'll come on to see eventually how he dealt with the darkness and created the light there in Genesis, so God can shine the light into the heart and soul of an individual, a dead soul, soul with no spiritual life, no spiritual energy. The light can enter. Praise the Lord for that. And may the Lord do it many times over.